Well, dear friends, greetings today in the name of our Lord Jesus. There are times in almost any person's life when if they're paying attention to what's happening and actually listening, they are probably aware that in some way or another, God is trying to get their attention. And it doesn't matter if they're a follower of Jesus or not, because there's no one in this world who's ever been born who's not loved eternally by God, and no one in this world as a result to whom God has not worked in a variety of ways over the course of a lifetime to speak. As a pastor, I've heard countless stories of how God has worked to influence and direct and speak into the situations and circumstances people have faced in their lives. And not surprisingly, at the time when it's happening, as they're going through it and listening for it, in most cases, it wasn't always easy to tell what God was trying to say. Only in retrospect and by faith did it ever become clear. The same is true in my own life. And I could give you a long list of times and places and situations where I was convinced that God was trying to tell me something. Some of them big, some of them small, many of them actually rather simple and mundane, but ones in which and to which I heard God's voice. And when I say that I heard God's voice, what I mean is that I sensed he was speaking, wanting me to listen without actually and audibly hearing the voice of God. How does God speak to us in our life together as a congregation? How does God speak to you in your own faith and walk with Christ? And how do we know when it's God's voice and not something else? How can we be sure that what we're actually hearing is a message that comes from him? And what about those times when we don't know? And what about those occasions when it appears as if God's voice is silent? And what about all of the whatabouts and whens and wheres we face each day? Well, over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at a number of passages that will help us think through and consider how it is that God actually speaks. We're calling it our Kairos series. It's a series in which we're going to be looking at those times, those Kairos moments when we believe God is trying to get our attention and tell us something. Now in the Bible, and we've talked about this before, in the Bible the word Kairos is a word used to describe time. In particular, certain moments in time when something's happening that God wants us to hear. Kairos moments are oftentimes special moments, significant moments, moments in time when we need to sit up and pay attention to what's happening. In the Bible, when a Kairos moment happens, something's happening that needs a response. And it's in that response to whatever it is that's happening, and God is saying that we take or not a step of faith. When Jesus was walking on the water and invited Peter to step out of the boat and come out and join him, it was a Kairos moment in Peter's life that would show or not the trust he had in his Lord. When Saul was knocked to the ground and made blind and heard the voice of Jesus speak, it was a Kairos moment in his life in which his response would lead to or not his becoming the Apostle Paul. Now those are some of the big Kairos moments in the Bible, all right? Times when something significant and out of the ordinary happened that played an important part in that particular person's life. Some of us have had those kind of moments. Some of us have not. It doesn't matter. What we've all had and what we all will have are moments when God is trying to get our attention and speak. How do we hear it? How do we know? How can we be sure? What we've all had and what we all have are moments when God's trying to get our attention. And what I want to do today, as we begin this series, on this day when after worship this afternoon, after the lunch hour, the time we have, we're going to be meeting as a congregation to talk about and think about where it is that God is leading. I want to start today by talking about two of the texts we just read. Two of the texts. And then I want to go on from there to share a bit about what's happened in this past year, what it is that's in front of us in the year to come. And then I want to close it out today by challenging all of us, challenging you to join me in what I believe all of us need to be doing as a congregation and in our own individual lives over the course of the next several weeks. Let's start with the text. The first is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, the story of Jesus calling of the first disciples. A familiar story, a story we read before, a story and yet one in which there's something going on that's worth noting. Did you notice what happened in the story of Jesus calling of those first disciples? I mean, before calling them, before inviting them into this relationship with him that would literally change the course of their lives, did you notice what happened? Jesus made a statement. And he made a statement that literally sets the stage for everything that follows. And the statement he made was the first words in Mark's gospel out of his mouth. Remember what he said? He said, "The time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news." The time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news. Not coincidental in this series that the word Jesus used for time when he says the time has come is the word kairos. Not the time of day or the time of the week or what time it is in the month or the year, chronological time, but in the course of time at a particular moment in time. This is the time, Jesus says, when there's something going on that God wants you to hear. This is the moment in time, he tells them, when there's something happening you do not want to miss. And what was happening, what was going on not to miss, was the coming and appearance of Christ. Now, what follows in the story is the call of the first disciples. What follows in the story is a daily call, a lifelong call, a moment-by-moment call to follow Jesus. You know, it's interesting in life that whenever God calls us or speaks to us, that we're always left with a choice. And have you noticed that? That when God works in life to get your attention, wants you to hear something, that it always requires a response. And even more interesting is the fact that the response we make says a lot about our willingness to trust. You're sitting in church on a Sunday morning and listening to a message. There's something that's said that you've never heard before. Or maybe something said that you have heard, but all of a sudden you're hearing it in a different way, and you're wondering, when that happens, don't just think it's the preacher and his idea or her idea. It might actually be the voice of God. What are you going to do with that? You're reading your Bible, the story of Jesus telling his disciples to forgive not 7 times, but 70 times 7, and all of a sudden you think about that person you've had a hard time forgiving over the past several weeks. Don't think for a moment that that's not God's voice trying to tell you something. He's speaking, and when he speaks, you're left with a choice. What are you going to do? The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe. There's always an action connected to the calling of Jesus. There's always a response we're called to make when God in those kairos moments breaks in and speaks. And that leads into the second passage we read today. Our first lesson for today about Elijah and God's voice to him. It's a long story, a rather twisted and twisting story and plot. We didn't read it all. It doesn't really matter. Bottom line, Elijah was ready to quit. He was in the process of giving up. Chased by wicked Queen Jezebel, wanting to put him to death, Elijah was hiding in a cave. Now, without going back and reading again, you remember, God tells him to get up, go outside, and stand outside on the mountain because God was ready to speak. And so he does. He stands on the mountain, and what happens? A number of things. A great and powerful wind, it says, tore the mountain and shattered the rocks. But it says the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake either. After the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, it says, came a gentle whisper. Some translations say, a still small voice. And it was the voice of God. And he began to speak. And Elijah was left with a choice. The call of God. Kairos moments. God speaking to us in a still small voice. Let's talk for a moment about where we've been as a congregation on this day of our annual meeting. What's happened in this last year? What were these last 12 months all about? I'll tell you, there were a lot of good things that happened over the past 12 months. They really were, as I think back on what happened. This past year was filled with times and places and people in and which and through God was without question at work. Some of the things on site in our children's ministry, our junior and senior high youth ministries, our middle hour, our quilting groups, our worship, things like Village House, Walk for Water, Vacation Bible School, our fish food pantry, some of the Bible classes and fellowships events, and some of the things happening with our seniors, the renewed energy and effort we're giving to our MOPS ministry. There's a long list of things happening on site in this past year worth noting and celebrating. A long list. Same was true off-site. Our work with City Team. Fun to watch that, and powerful things happening. The work we have in the homeless ministries. Our mission to Mexico. Only to mention a few, to say nothing about the kind of things that are happening in each of our individual lives as members of Christ's body as a church, as you go out from here into your own life where that takes you. God is using this church in some powerful ways. This past year was filled with blessings. A lot was happening, it really was. It was also a year that had some challenges. Full transparency, 2018 was one of the most challenging years in my 32 plus years of ministry as a pastor that I've ever had. One of the most challenging years for our elected leaders. The two biggest challenges were related to the two communications we sent out to the congregation in the past 2 months. The one relating to the change in our pastoral ministry, a mutual separation between Pastor Brian and St. Timothy's, a man who loves the Lord, and who loved us, and we loved him, no question. And some good things were happening, they really were. But it was a change, nonetheless, needing to be made. And so we did. And now both of us are moving on. The second, in relation to what happened in our school, we sent out another letter this past week. After 40 years, think about that, of 40 years of life-changing and transforming work, we made the hard decision to close the elementary portion of our academy and move forward with the building and developing of our preschool. After several years of trying to increase that enrollment, that elementary enrollment, it wasn't happening. And so we made the decision, and it was a hard one. And now we're moving on. Those were two of the most difficult decisions I've ever been involved in over the course of my ministry. Same with our leaders. On a variety of levels, they were gut-wrenching, tough decisions, but ones I believe were the right decisions and Spirit-led. In both cases, we did a lot of praying, a lot of sharing, a lot of discerning and listening and trying to hear that still small voice. 2018 was a good year, a blessed year, a challenging year. In many ways, I liken it to the story of I liken it, it was a year of pruning and cutting back. I liken it to the story Jesus told about the vine and the branches, and how in every life, every congregation, every ministry, for fruit to be born, at times pruning needs to take place. And pruning is never fun. It's hard work, it's tough, and it can even hurt. But when it happens, something is always on the other side that leads to growth. And that's where this next year comes in. This past week, I started compiling a list of things that will be in front of us in this coming year. It's an exciting list. It's an encouraging list. It's a list filled with possibilities for where and when and how God might lead. But just like this past year, it's a challenging list. It's a list filled with a number of unanswered questions and uncertain directions in which, at least for the moment, while we're trying to listen to that, to address them and figure things out, what we need to do is listen and wait and pray for God to speak. Related to the pastoral change that happened this past year, we need to be planning and thinking about what's going to happen in the next few years. You'll hear more about that this afternoon, what's already in the works to address that particular question. We put together what we're calling our transition team that is tasked with helping us figure this whole thing out. They'll be compiling all kinds of information over the next couple of months, and then they're going to be coming together, sharing that with our leaders, and then we're going to be bringing that to the congregation as a whole with some recommendations. In fact, with all of that in mind, we've already set a date for our next congregational meeting. 10 weeks from today, Sunday, April 7, we'll come together again, hear a report from that team and our leaders, along with their recommendations, and then together we'll make some decisions and move ahead. There's a lot of work to be done, a lot of prayer that's needed. As far as our school is concerned, it's the same thing. There are all kinds of possibilities. Just think about it. With a campus that in the next few months will become more vacant, what are the next steps God is calling us to take? Expanding the preschool? Probably. Beginning to develop and provide even younger and much needed infant care? We don't know. Doing some after school programs. Repurposing this campus with which we've been blessed. I mean, beyond all of that, is there another ministry God has called, is that has on the horizon for us that he wants us to think about and take on? Are there possibilities that we've never even thought about that God wants and is preparing for us to do? And is it even possible that we would one day restart our school and do it in a way moving forward that would set us up, you know, even in a stronger way for success? I'm not saying that there is, or there are, or we will, or any of what I've just shared is what God wants. I'm not saying that. Don't mishear. At this time, we don't know for sure. What we do know for sure is that God does want, and he will use us and this place, and he speaks. And when he speaks, we have a choice. When he calls, it requires of us that we respond. So here's what I want to do. Here's what I'm planning to do. And I'm asking you as a congregation to join me. Between today, the day of our annual meeting, and 10 weeks from today, April 7th, when we have another congregational meeting, I am planning to set aside time every day to talk with God, sharing with him the questions I have, the challenges we face, and the possibilities and potential options that I see. More importantly, in that time, I'm going to be spending time in prayer, in conversation with God and with others, in his word, listening for his voice, listening for what he wants us to hear. Now, I don't know what he'll tell us. I don't know. I don't know what he will say, but he will speak. He will speak as he's promised, and we will be able to hear if we listen, and his voice to us, if only in small ways, will become clear. I believe these next 70 days can and will be a Kairos time for us here at St. Timothy's, a time when we will be presented with a choice. I'll be praying each day. I'm asking you as my brothers and sisters in the faith, do the same. In closing, and we'll plan to do something similar each week over the next 10 weeks, in just a moment, I'll be closing our time with a word of prayer, like we do most often. I'll start the prayer, I'll offer a few words, and then we're going to have a time for just some silent prayer as a congregation. And then when that's done, I'm going to close it out with another prayer. Over the next 70 days, if there are thoughts and ideas that you have, in your prayer time with God, we want you to bring those to us. We want to know what God is saying to you. Not what you think, not your ideas, but ideas and thoughts you believe have come from God. Let us know. Text us, call us, send us an email, write them down. We want to know. For 70 days, be praying for God's voice to be heard. In our life as a congregation, for our leaders as they think about where it is God is leading, and for each of our in our own lives individually as we seek to know and do what God is calling us in life. Be praying for God's voice to be heard and for ears to listen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the calling we have in Jesus, for your promise to lead and to guide, and for those kairos moments in which you speak. Lord, we pray that this time in our life together as a congregation, these next 70 days, would become one of those kairos times for us. Open our hearts, clear our minds and our wills, and allow and enable us to listen, even now as we spend this time in prayer. Lord God, thank you for hearing our prayers and for giving us ears to hear your still small voice. In Jesus' name, amen.